Forum Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, April 27th, 2013, 17 ER 5773, Emor, Leviticus 21, 1 through 24-23, Haftarah, Ezekiel 44, 15 through 31, Devar Torah, Priests, Men, and Women, by Dahlia Marx. How have men and women today inherited the roles and activities of the ancient priests? We can find some interesting theories about this in Parashat Emor, in Talmud and Mishnah, and in later commentaries and prayers. Between the sections of the Torah dealing with special laws related to the priests, the list of the festivals, and the acts of the blasphemer, the Torah commands the preparation of the loaves for the tabernacle in Leviticus 24, 5 through 9. You shall take choice flour and bake of it 12 loaves, 2/10 of a measure for each loaf. Place them on a pure table before the Eternal in two rows, 6 to a row. With each row, you shall place pure frankincense, which is to be a token offering for the bread, as an offering by fire to the Eternal. He shall arrange them before the Eternal regularly every Sabbath day. It is a commitment for all time on the part of the Israelites. They shall belong to Aaron and his sons, who shall eat them in the sacred precinct, for they are his, as most holy things from the Eternal's offering by fire, a due for all time. The Torah provides baking instructions for the loaves and their arrangement on the special designated table. Each of the loaves contains 2/10 of a measure of fine semolina flour, and the loaves were arranged in two groups, 2 rows, 6 to a row. In his liturgical hymn, Azamer Bishvachin, the medieval Kabbalist Isaac Luria Ha'ari expresses hope that the Shekhinah will be adorned by 6 loaves on each side of the table next to one another. The 12 loaves symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel and the placement of the entire people in a holy site. According to Josephus, who describes the structure of the sanctuary as a model of the universe, they represent the zodiac and the months of the year. Thus, the loaves have both a national and a cosmic import. The showbread, as it is known elsewhere in the Bible, was on display on the golden table in the temple. See Exodus 25:23. The table of showbread was one of the main holy vessels in the temple, especially during the Second Temple period when the ark was no longer there. And it is one of the main themes described in ancient Jewish art. The Talmud relates that the table and showbread are sacred objects with which the festival pilgrims, Olei Regalim, came into contact. It is taught that they would elevate the table and display the showbread and say to them, "See his love for you." The loaves are removed and are as fresh as they were when set down. Babylonian Talmud, Chagiga 26b. That is, in order to allow the Israelites to approach holiness and experience being near the temple, they would take the table of showbread from the inner sanctuary to the outer court and expose its magnificence to them. According to this tradition, the priests used the showbread as a sign of God's affection for Israel, since its removal was as its placement. As it is said, one of the miracles that occurred in the temple was that they placed the loaves while still warm, and 7 days later removed warm loaves, as it is written, to put hot bread in its place on the day it was taken away. 1 Samuel 21:7. That is, a miracle had occurred. Not only did the loaves remain fresh, but they were also warm when removed. They were baked before Saturday and removed the next Saturday night in the same state that they were at the time of their arrangement. Who prepared the showbread? According to the explanation of the Torah, it seemed that the command was for the priests. You shall take choice flour and bake, place them, Leviticus 24, 5 through 6. But elsewhere it is written, "And let all among you who are skilled come and make all that the Eternal has commanded, and the showbread," Exodus 35:10-13. From this passage, it would appear that all among you who are skilled can serve as the baker of the loaves. In rabbinic literature, we read of the Garmo family, whose sons alone were authorized to bake the showbread. They were among the craftsmen who were paid from the temple treasury. See Mishnah Shkalim 5:1 and Babylonian Talmud, Yoma 38b. The priests, the house, and the home. Even if the priests themselves did not bake the bread, they were the ones who presented it to be displayed on a golden table in the temple. The temple is a house, the house par excellence, and also our house. The priests worked in this magnificent and holy house. They guarded, prepared, cooked, and cleaned. They functioned as diligent housewives. The priests served as guards. Each guard served for a week twice a year. When their mishmar, guard duty, ended, the priest returned home, where they would apparently function as normal men. But in the temple, they were a gender unto themselves. Their function, however, in several aspects, was similar to the traditional function of a woman. Besides dealing with the sacrifices, cooking the offerings, and presenting the loaves, we read in Parashat Emor that Aaron the high priest was responsible for the tabernacle and for the ceremonial lighting of the lamps. In Leviticus 24:3-4, we read, Aaron shall set them, the eternal light, up in the tent of meeting outside the curtain of the pact to burn from evening to morning before the eternal regularly. It is a law for all time throughout the ages. He shall set up the lamps on the pure lampstand before the eternal to burn regularly. The mitzvah of lighting Shabbat candles, which tradition has delegated to women, is symbolically related to the commandments of lighting the lamps in the tabernacle and the temple. The separation of challah and the lighting of candles mentioned here are two of the positive time-bound commandments designated for women. The third category of time-bound commandments for women, called laws of nidah, concern purity. The Mishnah states, threateningly, on three accounts do women die in childbirth: by not being scrupulous in the laws of nidah, the laws of challah, and the laws of the lighting of the candles. Mishnah Shabbat 2:6. In our Torah portion, we find a symbolic representation of each of these commandments for priests in the context of the temple. The priests are instructed to maintain their own purity and holiness, to prepare and present 12 loaves every week, and to kindle the lamps in the tent of meeting. To some extent, the priests are commanded in the temple to observe the commandments that women were later to observe in their homes. Maybe the threat of death expressed in the Mishnah is mentioned precisely because of their proximity to the holiness as expressed in these commandments and their counterparts in the temple. Just as the priests in the temple functioned somewhat as housewives, women's homemaking activities can be compared to the functioning of the priests in the temple in several respects. This similarity is expressly stated in several prayers recited by women. For example, the following Techina, a woman's prayer, written in Yiddish, was printed in Amsterdam in 1648 and is presented here in translation. Lord of the world, I have finished all my work in the 6 days and now will rest as you commanded, and will light 2 candles as ordained in our holy Torah and as interpreted by our sages to honor you and the holy Sabbath. And may these lights, in your eyes, be like the lights kindled by the priest in the temple. And do not let our light become extinguished, and may your light shine upon us. In her Techina, the woman kindling the candles asks that the candle she is lighting will be considered as holy and as pure as those the priest is lighting in the temple. But actions that link us to the temple experience today are not limited to women. Indeed, in the absence of the ancient temple, our home has become a mikdash me'at, a lesser temple, serving as a focal point of holiness and spirituality for all who dwell in it. Rabbi Dalia Marks is an associate professor of liturgy and midrash at the Jerusalem campus of HUCJIR. Her new book is Tractates Tamid Midot and Kinim, a Feminist Commentary, published by Moore Seebeck.